You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, no other announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Acts 13 today. Acts 13, 38 through 43. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, well, we've had some first taste of some tornado season out at Newalla. So we opened up the little tomb we've got underneath the car. And we got inside there. And we didn't quite close the door. We didn't feel the need to close the door. We just kept it open, and Reuben was on the top layer. And we just waited there for a while, and finally the sirens went off. And so it looked like it was just a safe place to be. And looks like there were tornadoes around the state, and I think there was the possibility of some right near us. I don't think any actually formed, but they were very close by in terms of potential tornadoes. And no doubt we'll see some more this season. So it's really nice to have a place to go. Man, you know, before having that, we always used to look at each other and say, oh man, maybe we should have moved out of here and gone to OU or gone there or gone, you know, and you're always second-guessing yourself. Should have done this, should have done that. When you got a place to go, no problem. Okay, we've got a place to go. So it's been good like that. Concerning the Truth for Today conference, this has been really a blessing, and I've made a whole lot of new friends and acquaintances. And there's a lady in the conference who's writing down all the names and addresses, and she's going to send me them. So I think this is a really good way of getting contacts for the future, which is really exciting to me. Let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time that we can meet together, Lord. And we pray as we open the scriptures, your spirit would enlighten our minds that we could understand more of thy holy word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this is actually the series of slides that I used at the talk. So I advertised the rightdivision.com, and a lot of people there are certainly interested and are already visiting. But I think we'll see a flurry of activity around it. It really is good. I mean, it was interesting how, you know, while we were away, Champ gave that talk, and it gave a kind of summary of what's gone on. And it's interesting to see how the resource has grown. I know we don't really add that much, do we? Per week, it's not much. But week after week after week, it just keeps on going up there, and the resource is now reasonably substantial. So that's really cool. Okay, so I talked about this idea of pragma, which is a deed, you know, pragma. We have the word pragmatics. And if you're pragmatical, it means that you're able to get things done in the right way. And the word is in Greek, and you can find the stem prag coming up in various verbs and other word forms you'll find here in Luke 1:1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. For as much as many, and you can see care in here, which is hand, have taken in hand. And here we have this infinitive to set in order. And this is the declaration, diegesin, this declaration concerning. Now, what doesn't come up in the English is, it has of those things, but what it says here concerning those pragmaton, those deeds which have most certainly been believed among us. So there were certain deeds that were done, and they were most certainly believed, and there was a declaration made by Luke about these things, these deeds. And if you come along down here in Luke 19:13, it says this, and he called his 10 servants, so this is the Lord, and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And this occupy, you notice it's got the prag in there. It's got that same word stem, prag. Pragmatusas there. So this is a command, an imperative. Occupy until I come. Until I come. Occupy, that is, carry out this business of doing deeds until I come. And the deeds are set forth and given instruction. There are things that are given for us to do, and there are instructions about how we should do them. We just don't do anything. We as Christians, we need to understand what deeds we are supposed to be involved with by first of all understanding God's will. We need to understand God's will for the age in which we live, and then we can carry out the correct kind of deeds. Well, these people were given instruction about the kind of deeds, and you notice that there's an end limit to until I come. You see, there is a context until Jesus, the Lord, comes. The coming of the Lord, it has a context. Now, if you open the Bible to the book of Acts, then what you find is, you find that it says as a title, and the titles are not inspired, I'm not saying they are, but they're very indicative, and especially in this case, about the nature of the work that's about to come by this great historian. And you'll notice it says, the Acts of the Apostles. The act, the deeds. Praxis, ton apostolon. The acts of the apostles, the deeds of the apostles. Yeah, very appropriate, because Luke is carrying on this, and you notice what he says in verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach unto the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Cool. So what we have now are the deeds of the apostles in relationship to special working of the Holy Spirit in terms of the will of God. The will of God is going to be worked out through these apostles. And there are deeds that they performed. Okay, that's kind of interesting as you go through here. And what I did at the conferences, I said, well, you know, it's very interesting to look at this whole idea of the deeds. Because we often look at the deeds and we think, well, the deeds kind of go right to the end of the book of Acts, but not quite. It has been believed, especially by myself, that right to the end of the book of Acts, but actually to verse 25 to 28, there was this interruption. So that you got the deeds of the apostles in terms of a hope and a calling, but then something is interjected in there. And I pointed out how that's kind of a little bit unnatural with the reading of the scriptures. And so I was showing, you know, like if you look at verse 23, look who's in charge. It's the Jews. They appointed a day. That's the Jews. They appointed a day. And then there was this discussion in verse 23. Let's go there right to Acts 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed a day, there came many to him into his lodging to whom he expounded and testified. And I pointed out the fact that, you know, it's interesting how Paul was given his own hired house. You know, the possibility that he could have his own hired house. And this is indicative of the fact that he had broken no Roman law. There is no evidence that the man was guilty of breaking Roman law. Yes, the Jews didn't like him, but that's a different thing. He expounded and testified the kingdom of God. So notice the testification here related to the kingdom of God. And it came out of the law of Moses and the prophets. The kingdom of God. And then it goes on persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and of the prophets, from morning till evening. And then it says in verse 24, some believed, some believed not. And one of the obvious things here about this is that they did not all disagree. I mean, we see they did not, some did not believe, and that's what where our mind goes to and our ears hear. But are you listening to the fact that some did believe, right? There were believers there amongst these Jews. They believed him, some. Some did not. Now, when you get to verse 25, something very interesting happens. It says, when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. Now, the word departed comes from this verb here, and you can see a stem which I've made a little bit bigger here, lu. Lu. Lu is the stem of a verb, luo, which means to loose. To loose. Now it's interesting here that what you have is the Jews, they are appointing things. They are sort of in charge. They appointed Paul a day. But down here what's happening is they are loose. Wait a minute. Paul is the one in chains. It would seem to me that he's the one that needs to be released, right? But what happens is the Jews get released in some sense. They are loosed. They are dismissed. Now, it's repetitive. Look at the repetition here. In verse 25, it says, when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Now, we know the word. And when it says one word, it means one spoken word. One spoken word. The word in Greek is this word, rhema. In New Zealand, we have a radio station called Rima. Rima. Rima comes from this, rhema, which is the spoken word. So, it says they were dismissed after one spoken word, and then Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 is quoted. And then what he does, verse 29, look at the repetition. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed. And had great reasoning among themselves. But wait a minute, verse 25, it just says they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. And then, after giving that one word, it says the Jews departed. Why is Paul doing this? Well, there's some very interesting things going on here. When it says these words, it's this one word, telta, these things. And the Jews departed. It's a different word here, apokomai. So in one hand, what you've got is a foretaste of what's going to happen, but it's a foretaste based upon some sort of dismissal. There's a dismissal that comes on these Jews. And then what happens is they hear these words and then they walk out. Basically, that's what's going on. Now, why am I saying this? Why is this important? Because the one, you've got to see that the one word here can't possibly mean one little word that's written on this page. It must mean one thought that summarizes what you read in Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. The meaning of what's going on with that quote, once that had been given, then they were dismissed. They were dismissed. They did not just walk out. Yeah, that's physically what they did. They walked out, but they were dismissed. They formerly were in charge. They appointed the day. And now, they are the ones that are released. Now, something very significant goes on in Acts 28. And that's the other point that needs to be stated. What I'm trying to say does not at all take away some of the important features of Acts 28. Not at all. There is a very significant thing that goes on in Acts 28. But here, I want to point out some other things which are also significant and new. As you go down in verse 30, it says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him." And then it says, "Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." Now, what's interesting here are a couple of things. First of all, in verse 28, where it says, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it." Let me ask you this question. How's it going? "And that they will hear it." They will hear it. Well, when it comes to the revelation of the mystery, how are they hearing it? How's it going over the 2,000 years? In fact, if you just read what Paul says near the end of his ministry before being put to death, he says, "All those in Asia have left me." How's it going? Well, if you put in here the revelation of the mystery, I don't think you're going to make much sense out of that statement. On the other hand, if you allow that this message is the one which is related to Israel, well then, actually, have a look at the churches around. It is a prolific ministry, and it's readily acceptable by many Christians, right? In this country alone, there are many. So that's an interesting thing. Now, the other thing that I would ask is this. We have already discerned something about Paul's ministry. We have discerned something. Now I'm starting to move my line further back now, because if this is Acts 28, we're now starting to move into here now. Before, we used to speak a lot about the moving up to this time, but now we're concentrating concerning Acts 28 and on. So here's Acts 28, right? And we have Paul ending up in Rome here, right? And he is a prisoner, but he says that he was imprisoned, or he was shackled for the hope of Israel, right? That's what he says, for the hope of Israel. Okay, that's cool. So later on, we know. Well, I don't know what exactly to do, but I'm gonna sort of draw a little sort of a ellipse here to indicate that the imprisonment went over past Acts 28, and then at some stage he was released. Well, I'm very confident of that I can show that that's the case. And then sometime after this, after maybe some missionary trips, he then finally, and it might be some other imprisonments as well, but sometime later on, there was the final imprisonment that he took. He took a final imprisonment here, and from there he was executed. Okay, so that's what's going on. So when Paul talks about, and say in Ephesians 3:1 and 4:1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles," and then he starts talking about the revelation of the mystery and all these things, when he talks about that, and he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner," my question is, where? Where is he talking about? Is he talking about this imprisonment? Or is he talking about something in between, or the last one? When he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner," I had formerly just put him here. It was just my immediate thought, that's where it is. And now, I do not believe that is correct. I don't believe it's true. When he says, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles," and he starts developing all this doctrine about the revelation of the mystery, if he's not talking about this imprisonment here, then there's no reason in the wide world I should interject into Acts 28 the mystery. There's no reason for me to do that unless you have some other reason. You see the point I make? Okay. So that was kind of interesting to me. And let's just go back a little bit. I want to show you something else which I think is parallel. So I want to. That's basically part of the ministry and talk that I gave at the Truth for Today. There's other things I gave, but that's a lot of it. Now, I want to show you something different now. I want you to go to Acts 13. We read this at the beginning. And this is a wonderful passage. Of course, Paul, he recounts a lot of things. So Acts 13:4 says, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus." This is really interesting teaching here, a lot of parallels going, lots of teaching. But as we go down further, it says this in verse 13, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem." I wonder what went on there. Something interesting happened there. "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch." Now, Antioch in Pisidia. Now, this begins a tremendous amount of teaching and parallels with Acts 28. There is an obvious and clear parallel between Acts 13, as we're going to read, and Acts 28. But I want to point out something which I think is missed and also feeds into this discussion we're having about Acts 28. And the fact that Paul had other imprisonments, which leaves open the question as to, well, when was the mystery revealed? We do not have to assume it was revealed at Acts 28. Okay, now look at this. And it says, "And went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down." So he sat down on the Sabbath day in this synagogue in Antioch, Pisidia. What an amazing thing to be a fly on the wall there, right? When these things were going on. And I won't read it all, but Paul, he gets up and he gives a great talk. He goes through the history of Israel and how they were called. And then finally into John the Baptist's ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about him and talking about the second Psalm and David, etc. Now, verse 38, you can read about that. It's a great sermon. It gives you ideas about how to witness to the Jews. You can learn a lot about how to witness the Jews by just reading this passage about how Paul is ministering in a synagogue. Now, in verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren." "Be it known." Wait a minute. Isn't that the kind of expression we find in Acts 28? That's very close to what you'll find in Acts 28. "Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will..." See, that's Acts 28:28, right? Very similar kind of language. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren," this is verse 38, "that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Now notice the content of this. "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." That's also something you find in Acts 28. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets." Well, where in the prophets? Notice he's giving a warning. There's a warning coming. And as we'll find out, it's a warning of judgment. And remember, this must be related to them not believing. I mean, he's talking about believing in Jesus, right? Justification from all things, which you could not be justified from the law of Moses. So when he's warning them, it must be, and you know, this is the logical implication, that it must be a warning because they're not going to believe this. And it says in verse 41, "Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish." Well, we are left in no doubt where this passage comes from. And it comes from Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, let's just hold your place there, because we need to come back there. But just go to Habakkuk 1. Habakkuk is, you know, got this burden like the prophets would have. And he says in verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, "O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save." You know, there's judgment around Habakkuk, and he as a prophet, he's crying out to God to intervene, and the judgment is slacked. He can't stand what's going on around him. In verse 5, it says this, "Behold ye among the heathen." Stop. Perfect. "Behold ye among the heathen." And that's where we have Antioch, right? Paul now is going out among the heathen. And it says, "Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth." That's right. In verse 5, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." And then it tells you what? "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans," that bitter and nasty nation, "which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs." Now, if you remember how we had quoted from Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, and we read that passage about Isaiah saying, well, how long am I going to have this ministry of hardening, this terrible ministry that you've given? How long? And the Lord answers, until the cities be wasted, right? And the land become desolate. That's how long that was to go on for. Now, what, we've got something very parallel here. Look what it says. It says in verse 7, "They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves." It talks about how their horses are so terrible. And it talks about in verse 10, "And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it." Do you read through this? The point is, it's quite clear. It's talking about judgment coming on the nation of Israel. Now, if we look at Acts 13 and reading through verse, let's see, we start from 38. It says this in verse 42, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And the salvation of God was sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." Notice, virtually the whole city came. But what message was it? Was it the revelation of the mystery? No. No. What was this beware? "Beware, ye despisers, and wonder. Beware, therefore, and wonder and perish." And Paul says, "Lest that come upon you." Beware, lest that come upon you. So this is a prophecy. In other words, the fulfillment of prophecy is what Paul is talking about. If Acts 28 is what Paul is talking about there, then it's the fulfillment of prophecy. The salvation of God being sent to the Gentiles would have to be in the same context as the prophecy. Now look at this. Let me go across one more. Let's go right across to some prophecy that will be fulfilled in the future. This is Revelation 12. Now, Revelation 12 is all about this great wonder in heaven. And verse 1. Notice it's chapter 12. That's interesting. 12 tribes of Israel, just by chance, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. So this is clearly Israel. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now look what happens. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So there is this movement of the child to the throne. And the woman fled. Look at this. This is what I'm trying to get to. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Talks about this tremendous thing that happens. And if you read down, let's come down here, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Notice this particular death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath a short time. And look at verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Where was this woman? And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. Vacation of the land. Israel's now out of the land. And says, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time, 3.5. From the face of the serpent. Okay, what am I saying? What I'm saying here, if you look at Habakkuk 1:5, there is a warning. There is a warning there that there's going to be judgment that's going to come on Israel. And not necessarily, just beware lest this happens. They had the opportunity to repent. But if they don't repent, what's going to happen? Well, Acts 28 is part of this outpouring of prophecy, right? The salvation of God being sent to the Gentiles, just as we read in Matthew 22, just as we find right here in Habakkuk, and also in Isaiah 6, 9, 10, reading down to verse 13, you've got this idea of the movement of God against Israel and chastising her and finally removing her out of the land. This movement of Acts 28 is a part of that progress of doctrine. Well, so what does that mean? What it means is that the deeds of the apostles do indeed go right to the last chapter and to the period right at the end. Right? And the kingdom which is being preached here is the same kingdom that was being preached previously. The salvation of God that was formerly sent to the Jews is now being sent to the Gentiles. You see the point I'm making? And it's continuing. It's continuing. Prophecy is still working its way out. But wait a minute. There was a latter imprisonment. Sometime, I don't know where, sometime in here, God chose to reveal the mystery to Paul. And from prison, he writes it down. And we read about it. But that imprisonment is not this one. You got the idea? And so that's why we have been looking at this thing in terms of Acts 29. But there was something significant that happened at Acts 20. I'm not denying that. There was a hit against Jerusalem. There was a hit against the Jews because they simply would not agree. They would not agree. And then the salvation of God was sent to the Gentiles. But what I'm just pointing out is the fact that the salvation of God was a continuance of the ministry. Right? It's a continuance. Somewhere later on, that's where the revelation of the mystery was given. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time and for all that's in the Scriptures. We pray, Lord, that as we read, we would understand, and, Lord, that we can explain with clarity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.